on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
All right, so not Russ Langer. He's out again this week, but this is Caleb Herring. I'll be joined by Steve Cofield here at Parkway Tavern. A little later, join the conversation, but this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. We've been live from Parkway Tavern all season long, rotating between locations here. Today we're at the district. Great menu of food and beverages. Come out and enjoy the conversation as we sit and chat with the head coach, Tony Sanchez. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Good to be here today, and yeah, good to talk football.
It's great to talk football. Anytime we can get together and chat about the games and upcoming games as well, it's always good. So here we are at Parkway Tavern, like we mentioned, the new sponsor of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show and also the home of the Rebels on the Road, of course. But we're here to talk about a little bit of football. So the bye week is what we're currently in. No opponent this Saturday, but next Saturday against Wyoming, the Cowboys up in Laramie. So that'll be the next opponent. But we'll recap Northwestern as well. But Coach, the bye week always a little bit different for everybody. Everybody approaches it a little different. We'll talk a little bit about your approach and what you've got on the docket for the week, because for a head coach, it's never over, right?
No, it's not. You know, it's this year is interesting because every team has two byes. You know, so it used to be you have the one bye week, and depending where it falls, does it fall early? Is it late? You know, do you need to give your guys rest? You got to keep them sharp. So this one, we want to keep them sharp. So we kind of went through a normal routine. We just shortened practices down. So we put the game to bed on Monday. Had a 1 hour practice. We cut Tuesday's practice down to 90 minutes. We were just over 90 minutes today. And then tomorrow we'll do a walkthrough, and then the guys will come and lift and do a run on Friday, and then they'll get the full Saturday and Sunday off. So, and then we'll be back to work on Monday. We'll handle it a little bit different depending on how things are going later on in the season as far as just making sure the guys are fresh. But and then there's a big recruiting week for us. So we got to, you know, we're always watching film, but we kind of got our sights set on a couple different guys, guys we've already got committed, guys we're trying to get committed. So half the staff's already out on the road right now, so they'll hit the ground running tomorrow. Myself and the coordinators will handle practice tomorrow, and then I'll hop on a flight at 12:30 and be rolling.
Yeah, so we'll be rolling. The bye week's rolling on. Of course, the players will stay in town, but you mentioned recruiting. I think a lot of people at face value always assume that the recruiting process is something that takes place in the offseason. How do you find time and coordinate the recruiting during the season, a busy, hectic season? How do you find time to do that?
Yeah, when we have our staff meetings, that's always a topic, and we always discuss it. Eric Sheridan's our recruiting coordinator, Drew Jennison's assistant. You know, they do a good job of keeping us organized. And then offense and defensive staffs watch a ton of film together, and I kind of pop in and out on both. And really the way the process works is, you know, early on you identify guys in the spring, and as you get to the season, you've kind of cut that list down. You kind of have a more narrow focus list. And we want to watch their first couple of games. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, do a lot of early offers. We don't do a ton of early offers. We want to make sure we get our sights set on the right guys. So we really want to watch those first three or four games, make sure we're making the right decision. And then when you have the bye week, you go out and see those guys. So, like, for example, tomorrow I have two practices to go see. And then the next morning I go to high school to see a young man, and then I fly into SoCal, and, you know, and I hit four high schools, and I go to a game that night, and then fly back here on Saturday. So, and everybody's got that same type of deal. We got guys all over the place.
Head coach of a college football team does not know rest. That is what you can assume there. But the bye week, do you find some time? Because college football, I'm sure you're still a fan of it at heart. You coach it all day, but you got a Saturday off. Do you find some time to sit back and watch some of the games on Saturday?
I did. I took an early flight out of L.A., so I get back, I think, 9:30, and then I think there's a barbecue grill and some football to watch. So, then we'll get back after
good.
Saturday.
Oh, nice, nice. So you'll definitely have a chance then to watch the Cowboys, who are in action this week on Saturday against Tulsa. A little bit of what they got going. They got a hot season so far, 3-0 to start the season, their best start in quite some time. So definitely be locked into them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they had a great week one victory against Missouri. You know, it just shows, you know, when you can run the football, it gives you a chance against these teams to just go fast, fast, fast and not ready for it. And they really caught them slipping, you know, and ran the ball right at them. And then after that, they've had some really close games. Texas State outgained them by a couple hundred yards, but they turned the ball over a bunch. That was the difference in the game. And then last week, they had a close game with Idaho. But they're a team that knows how to win. Coach Bowles did a great job of creating a foundation there. You know, we've had two great matchups since I've been here with those guys. Obviously, a couple years removed, but we lost a 7-point game there on the road and then won a crazy, I think, 69-66 triple overtime or something like that game
right.
here at Sam Boyd. So it's going to be a good competitive game, and it's a game that's really important to us. You know, we've come out in two of the 3 weeks we played well. Week two was not a good game, but we played well this last week. Did some, you know, there's a couple things we got to, you know, tweak, but we play that quality of football, fix a couple little things, got a great opportunity to get a win, and it's important to get back to 2-2.
Right, so last week, of course, mentioning Northwestern, the game up in Illinois, a great showing, in my opinion, by the Rebels for three quarters of play. A great football game, a great football back and forth between two evenly matched physical opponents. The bye week coming at the end of the non-conference schedule, do you push a reset button there and kind of build on what you saw during the first three games and push reset and say, hey, conference play, it's a different ball game, get laser focused, or is it just business as usual?
You know, I mean, you should be laser focused from the get-go, you know. This is so, you don't get many opportunities. It's not like, you know, basketball or baseball where you're playing 50-some-odd or 30-some-odd games. We get these precious 12 opportunities to try to create a longer season and get to 13 and 14. So, I mean, the focus has got to be there. But when you do get into conference, I mean, you definitely talk about, hey, it's conference play now. I mean, all of our goals are all out there. You know, want to win the West. You want to go to the postseason. I mean, those goals are all out there, right? And I think we learned a lot about ourselves. And you do as coaches, too, especially with young players. It's one thing to see him, you know, in spring ball and see him in camp, but then, you know, when you get under the lights and it's all for real, you really find out a lot about guys and how they execute in stressful situations. So I think we got a good barometer on that. You know, for the most part, we're healthy. Still a little thin in the running back area, but I like where we're at right now. And we're playing as good in the front seven on defense as we have since I've been here. So, you know, I'm excited about a lot of different things, but I think we go out and we put this whole thing together, it can be a heck of a season.
So the guys have been playing football now since the beginning of August. I mean, fall camp, rolling right into the season, a few games, a tough Big Ten opponent on the road. Bye week, a chance to get some rest and recuperation. Are you needing it now, or is the team overall pretty healthy right now?
We're pretty healthy right now. I mean, you know, for the most part, you know, we've got a couple guys, Gio Fallo, you know, he actually played last week, but he was a little banged up. This is a week to get him kind of rested up. Courtney Reese, you know, at the running back spot, he's practicing more. We expect him to be full speed by next week, so that's a good thing. You know, and other than that, you know, we don't got a ton of guys out.
That's good. That's good. Always good to come into conference play with some health, into a bye week even with some health.
Yeah.
Going into Wyoming's going to be some altitude up there.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe getting ready for that a little bit. But that's great. So we'll recap the Northwestern game. We'll start a little bit now. Obviously, two physical teams. Both teams look to come out and set the tone. From a physicality standpoint, how did you think your team fared against Northwestern?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's by far the most physical we've been against a team like that, of that caliber. You know, again, you talk about these money games or whatever you want to call them, but, you know, it's a Big Ten team, and it's a team that went to the conference championship, played Ohio State last year, so they're a good team, and they're known for, you know, being a downhill physical team. They held Stanford's offense to 10 points. Stanford scored 7 on D, and, you know, so when you look at that and you look at the way we matched up and we were able to, you know, move the ball in certain situational type deals, I was really happy. And then our defensive front seven, man, you know, we gave up some chunk runs at times, but we really buckled down and played great red zone defense. You know, they were down there 4 times and had to kick 2 field goals, so that was important. Got some critical fourth down stops, third down stops. I think we held them to 5 of 16 on third down, so we did some really good things. So physically, we matched up well against them, and that's good to see.
The Northwestern came out to start the game, went little race car tempo pace
on.
Was that kind of expected coming from them? No huddle, but not so much tempo?
Yeah, they're usually not that fast, but they came out, and obviously that was something that they wanted to do to try to exploit, and they went down and they scored on that first drive. After that, our guys really settled down. So they went down, scored on that first drive, and then we didn't give up another touchdown until, you know, probably mid-third quarter. You know, everything else were field goals, so and then they had one mop-up at the end. But, you know, they went down, scored right away, and we answered right back with the touchdown. We got a stop on them, and we drove right down to the 19-yard line, first and 10, you know, chance to score again and, you know, make it a, you know, a big lead. And, you know, we ended up fumbling the football, get a stop again against them, and we drive down the field and we score. Well, we don't get a stop, they kick a field goal, but then we drive down and score and we take the lead. And I think it was so critical, that fumble on that second possession, because when you look back at it, there wasn't a lot of opportunities, you know, getting down there against that defense. And that, the interception, I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later, and then, you know, the missed field goal in the fourth quarter, a chance to make it a 6-point game with 11 minutes left. Those three things were critical.
You talked a little bit about the first response drive to Northwestern touchdown. You got the ball, your first possession, 3 plays, I believe it was, and you're in the end zone.
Yeah.
So how big was that after your offense struggled so much week two, especially? And then to come out against Northwestern, against, you know, the quality opponent that they are, How big was it for your team to see that first drive, that response drive, offense looking like business as usual?
It was huge. I mean, you know, week before you go out and on the first possession you throw a pick six, you know, and it just kind of gets, you know, everyone deflated. And, you know, there was a lot of talk, you know, with Armani. We wanted to make sure that he got his confidence going, and Chuck's a special dude. So we did something a little different they hadn't really seen. We did some unbalanced stuff. So, that was an unbalanced run, and it kind of shortened the defense, and Chuck took it around the edge. And he's got elite speed. I think he's the number two running back in the country right now. And when he gets outside, he can go. So that was really big. Got everybody jazzed on the sideline. And then, again, you saw we got the ball back. We weren't right back down into a scoring position. We did that the first three possessions.
Great showing for the offense in the first half. You mentioned Armani, 7 for 9 in the first half, I believe, was his first half stats. Efficient in the passing game, of course, affected the game with his legs. A lot of third and manageables, I think, was the key. If I looked at back at that first half, you converted, I think, 3 out of 5 first downs early in that game. 3 out of 4, something like that. Very high percentage of third downs because there were a lot of third manageable situations.
No doubt about it. I mean, we talk about that all the time. And when you talk about third down percentage, it's based on how you do on first and second down. You know, if you get yourself into, you know, first of all, try to stay out of it. But if you're going to be in third downs, you want to make sure that you have options on the table and the defense has to defend the whole field. Third and longs are not a good thing. So that was good in the first half.
That's right. So we've got plenty more to talk about on the other side of the break. We'll step away for the first time this evening. We'll finish up Northwestern, recapping the game, talking a little bit more about the bye week and coaches' busy schedule on the road, recruiting, and then, of course, maybe a sneak preview into Wyoming, the Cowboys, and what they bring in Laramie. UNLV, bye week this week, but on the road next week against Wyoming. The Cowboys are 3-0. We'll step away for our first break. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back. Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on here. Coming back after the first break, fans, we'd like to remind you that our ID is giving away $10,000 to one lucky fan if the Rebels score a safety during this season. Make sure to go to unlvrebels.com/ourid to register for your chance to win. Please register. That's a lot of money, and I would hate for at the end of the season that to be wasted because that's a lot of money. But, okay, the show rolls on. We've got Northwestern game wrapping it up. We mentioned in the first half a couple of big plays, a response drive for UNLV getting on the board. Of course, the early fumble that squandered a scoring drive. But some big plays defensively in that first half, namely Javen White, who made a lot of big plays all over the field. I've mentioned his name so many times in the broadcast. It was kind of special to watch him make some plays. He had an interception in the first half.
Yep.
Northwestern driving down the field, got into scoring range, tried to throw a shot play, get into the end zone. Javen White comes down with it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when you look out and you see a slot receiver and he's got a linebacker on him, you're thinking, hey, okay, this is a great opportunity. But Javen's a special guy. I mean, every time the NFL scouts come in, they want to talk about him and talk about him in length. So he's up on people's list right now. There's a reason for that. But big, long range. He was a safety for a bunch of his career. And just did a phenomenal job. The guy did a, you know, vertical route, and he went ahead and spun around and kept leverage on it and, you know, just kind of bodied him out, kind of boxed him out like a basketball guy would, and high-pointed it and did a great job of coming down with that ball in the end zone.
A great job, great individual effort by him on that play. Of course, you mentioned his size and his ability to cover. That gives you a lot of options defensively when you don't have to sub an entire package just to get a pass defense out on the field. What kind of flexibility does he give you on the defensive side?
It's big. You don't always have to put a nickel in, you know, and then it kind of gets them kind of guessing a little bit. You know, he can cover certain slot receivers. He definitely can cover tight ends, you know, with no problem with backs out of the backfield. So he does a really good job. You know, if they go ahead and they want to get into an empty set and you got to go ahead and throw him out there in coverage, he can do it, and he does it well.
Javen did a great job. There was also another big defensive play down in the score zone. We mentioned a few times Rebels forced a field goal for Northwestern when it looked like they might be going into the end zone. But Jericho Flowers with a big-time sack, came on a corner blitz. Yeah. Big-time sack in the second quarter.
It was, you know, and it was unfortunate because earlier in that drive, they had a third and long, and we had a pass interference. It was probably a needless one. It was not a very good ball, and we ended up PIing the guy. So for them to kind of, you know, they got down in the red zone, and then, it, you know, good call by Coach Skip brings, you know, the corner blitz and, you know, gets that sack, puts them off schedule. Now they got to kick a field goal. I mean, that's a four-point play. That's a big deal.
All right, so you had the lead in the second quarter. From the press box, it feels like the air, there's some anxious fans in Northwestern. You got them on the ropes. What was missing to kind of finish that off and put them really behind the eight ball there in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, again, just taking advantage of those scoring opportunities. This is a defense, you know, at Northwestern that doesn't give up a lot of points traditionally. I mean, when you look at last year's games, again, you look at week one against Stanford, I mean, they're kind of a stingy defense. So when you have your opportunities, you got to take advantage of it. And again, you go back to, you know, you had that one fumble. We talked about that the first quarter. But in the second quarter, we had a third down, real manageable things like a third and six. We had a sprint out route called, and we hit them. And, well, we didn't hit them. We missed them, which would have been a first down. And then we had another one we actually hit. But we had a lineman downfield. So those things are big. You got to make sure that you clean that stuff up, because you're not going to get a ton of opportunities against a team like that.
Yeah, they were very stingy, and they did create some turnovers. You mentioned before that you wanted to create some turnovers. That Jaden White interception was, I believe, if I'm correct, the first turnover forced by the defense this season. So that was big. But turnovers definitely played a big role in the game.
They were huge in the game. I mean, yeah, then it goes into the second half. I mean, you know, you have that interception. I mean, we come out of the locker room, and you know we got a great plan. We marched right down on the field on them. We got possession, not possession, but first and 10 on the 35 going in. We have a shot play called, and we just made a bad read and threw the ball to them, and you know that kills that drive. So Darren Woods had a heck of a hit on that interception, made them fumble the ball. And I mean, you see on film, you got six, you know, red pants and white jerseys all around that ball, man, and they were able to come pick it up. So those are the things you got to be a little bit more optimistic about.
Now, you mentioned some big hits. Darren Woods, obviously, a clean, legal hit, absolutely depleted guy, separate man from ball. I got chills watching that.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. I mean, he's been in the weight room, no doubt. In the first half, though, talking a little bit about Drew Techman and his hit that, in my opinion, wasn't so big. You know, the call on the field was what it was, went to booth review, ends up with Drew Techman's ejection from the game.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. And I showed the team. And, I mean, the only thing is at the very end, his head goes down a little bit. But the thing about it that bothers me is, you know, they've done a good job of trying to clean the rule up, right, making sure it's reviewed in the booth. So if there's intent, like there has to be an initiation of either you're leaving your feet, so you're launching yourself, right, or you're hitting with the crown of the helmet, or you're specifically targeting the head. And he didn't. He never left his feet. He was standing there. He was literally standing in a still position when the receiver came down and ran into him. He had both palms up. I mean, there was no launch. There was no intent. I thought it would be reversed as far as the targeting goes, and it wasn't. And we didn't have him in the second half. Now, having said that, Greg Francis came in and played the entire second half, and he did a great job. I mean, we didn't have to change anything up. We didn't have to hide him or protect him. I mean, he was ready to go. So, you know, big props to Greg for going out there and being ready.
I was going to say, the defense didn't have a major drop-off when Drew went out. I think that drive when Drew got ejected ended up forcing a field goal again late in that drive and not giving up touchdowns. Like you said, Greg came in, did a great job. How confident does that make you in him? He was thrust into action, not by injury, but by, you know, ejection, a kind of a messed up way to get your action. But how confident are you in him now, giving you some more depth in that secondary?
Definitely gained, you know, we've gained a bunch of confidence in him, and he's gained it in himself too. So, you know, we tell our guys all the time, man, hey, next man in, you better be ready to go. And he's done a great job. We talked about it to the team, you know, this week. Coach Skip talked to the defense about it. And, you know, he's the guy that always shows up, busts his tail, does what he needs to do. And then when he got an opportunity to go out there, he was more prepared.
So second half rolls on. You mentioned the first drive coming out. Game plan working great. How tough is it after that interception, that turnover, kind of cease the momentum? And instead of seizing it, it stopped the momentum. How tough is it to kind of regather the troops and get them back going for the rest of that game?
You know what? At that point, I'll be honest with you, we knew it was going to be a stingy defensive game. It wasn't that difficult. I mean, our guys stayed locked in. Nobody panicked at all. I mean, it was kind of like, all right, you know, turn over. There you go. I mean, you know, they had the ball down there on their own side, though, you know, so they got to, you know, drive the field. And, you know, which they didn't do on that. And then, you know, a little bit later, they hit the shot play to go up 9. But still, 9 points in a college football game, that's not much at all. So I think our guys did a good job. We had a couple 3-and-outs on offense. It took us a minute to kind of get our legs back up underneath us. But the defense started to play better and better. And, you know, and after that touchdown, they really locked it down. I mean, they shut the game down the rest of the game. I mean, they did a great job. And the offense had, you know, had a good drive going. And we got down, you know, inside the 20-yard line. And, you know, obviously you'd like to get away with a touchdown there, but you got to have score. You got to have points on the board. Either one of those outcomes is going to make it a one-score game. It's going to add to the momentum. Our defense had kind of been getting after them a little bit. And, you know, and then that missed field goal was huge, because all of a sudden now you look up, and you know, it's, they've got the ball with like 10 minutes or right at 11 minutes left, and we got to get a stop. We did, however, they milked a bunch of the clock. They did a really good job of kind of running a 4-minute offense with 11 minutes left,
right.
You know, and kind of took 7 minutes off that clock. So we stopped them on a fourth down. Problem is, when we got the ball, you know, now you're down two scores with 2:30 rather than having the ball down one score, 6 points with 2:30. It's a whole different ball game with three timeouts.
So, talking a little bit about the thinking at that late game situation, the other team's up, it's a two possession game at that point.
Yep.
You got all three timeouts there. A lot of times people panic and start calling timeouts. And we talked about it on the air during the game, and you know you have two possessions to get. You got to score twice here. At what point do you start thinking, okay, we got to call a timeout? They're milking too much time here. We know we need two possessions. We need time left. At what point do you start saying, okay, let's play the timeout game here?
Our deal was under 3 minutes, you know, and I think they went ahead and they, at the very end there, they went ahead and they took that delay game or whatever right as the clock passed the 3-minute mark. So we knew we were going to do that. We were going to get the ball back. And, you know, and then the big deal there is with the three timeouts, it's like, all right, you know, we got to go down and score. We can use all these timeouts if we needed to save as much time, because you got to execute an onside kick regardless, you know. So that's the big thing. You like to keep at least one in your back pocket after the onside kick, but really the goal after that is you got to get your first points on the board.
Fans, for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles as well as no-hassle sales representatives, come to Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. So putting a bow on the Northwestern game, obviously disappointed in the outcome. Wins are always better than losses, but what did you learn about the team after playing Northwestern on the road? First road game of the season, what did you learn about the team?
Well, the toughness, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, we kind of got after them after week two. I mean, it was not a performance that that we ever want to see again, and the guys owned it. I mean, there was a lot of ownership about that, and you saw it in the way the guys played. I mean, they prepared well, they traveled well, they, you know, they handled it, you know, first class, and went out there, and they were ready to play a physical football game. That's exactly what they did. Now, we hate the outcome. There's no moral victories there, but it tells us that our guys are in the pocket and ready to go, and it was reflected again on Monday when the guys came into the building. I mean, again, there's a lot of ownership of the little things. So, again, we clean up some of these little things. We got a good football team.
Cleaning up things in the bye week. Rebels off this Saturday. Again, the Coach's Show rolls on here live at Parkway Tavern. A great selection of food and drinks. Come on down. We're here from 6 to 7 every night, actually rotating between here at the district and the 215 at Flamingo location. The Parkway Tavern is the new home of the Rebels on the Road and of the Coach's Show. Weekly show, Wednesday night, 6 to 7. Again, the bye week this week. Rebels are off on Saturday. Looking forward to getting into conference play next week against the Wyoming Cowboys up in Laramie. Another road game for the Rebels, but it'll be exciting. Again, Northwestern, the loss, we'll wrap that up, and we'll go ahead and move forward into the next week. We'll take another break here. We'll step away. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, brought to you by UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back. Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on here. Fans, don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. So we put a ball in Northwestern, but of course we got to talk about one of the big players across the nation, really, for the Rebels. He's a key in the nation. He's number two in rushing right now. Charles Williams, big games, 3 weeks in a row for him. How's he been for you?
He's been outstanding his whole career. I mean, he's a kid out of Bullard High School in Fresno, and not highly recruited, but he was the only guy in the state of California that went to the finals in the 100 and 200, so he can go. You know, had a great freshman season, broke the school record for rushing yards, and then the first game of year two broke his foot and missed the entire season. You know, from there, Lex, you know, just does some amazing things and keeps that job. So for Chuck to keep his head on the way he did, to continue to work and to grind, be the teammate that he was, you know, the way how well he's doing academically, he's going to graduate right on time. He just does everything at a high level, and you're seeing it reflected in the way he's playing right now. He's a true leader out there, and he's playing some really good ball.
You talk about his speed, but I feel like looking at him eyeball test, he's bulked up a little bit this year.
He has. I mean, he's right up there around 200 pounds. And, you know, I mean, he's kind of the perfect stature for running back right there at that 5'10 and
right,
a half,
right.
200 pounds. So, you know, he's kind of got that low to the ground, you know, deal. And at the same time, you know, he's big enough to get you those hard yards and short down distances.
So creating depth at running back, I mean, he's the number one guy clearly, but how do you try to manufacture and manipulate depth if that need comes across the road?
Well, we're really thin right now. I mean, we traveled with only two scholarship running backs last week, and that's a shame. You know, obviously we got we've got some guys out right now, and we need to get them back. You know, Courtney Reese, you know, hopefully get him back. Biagio started practicing again. Biagio Wall, so that's good. Chad Maguire still out right now. So we got a host of guys that are out right now and not available. So, I mean, there's not many Division I teams in the country that are pulling up to games with two scholarship running backs. But, you know, hey, you got to manage it. Good thing is our quarterback, he's like having another running back there, so you manage it that way. But Chuck's a tough guy. His build will allow him to carry the ball more than Lex did. You know, Lex is probably a little bit more shifty and explosive at times. But, you know, Chuck's got the stature to go ahead and carry the ball 20, 25 times a game.
So, of course, you're probably going to have your sights in the recruiting process on some running backs to fill that need.
Yeah.
But with recruiting also comes not just signees and not just big names and things like that, but also come, I'm sure, some funny stories, some great moments on the road trying to woo these parents into trusting you with their sons.
Yeah, well, I can think of one. Justice Olu was showing one of our offensive tackles out of Houston, Texas. We went to recruit him. I was with John Garrison at the time, our old line coach. And, you know, we get to the door, and we knock on the door, and nobody answers. And we knock on the door again. And then, you know, you hear somebody come to the door looking through kind of the peephole. And we're like, hey, you know, coach is from UNLV. And so the girl opens the door. And, you know, we step in, and you hear the mom yell out, why'd you let him in? And we're thinking, oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah, we already had this scheduled. And so, anyway, we sit down, and we come to find out that one of the other schools in there was like, oh, you can't go to Vegas. It's a terrible place. All they do is, you know, there's casinos on every corner. There's bad place.
Oh, man.
So the first 45 minutes, it was a disaster. I mean, it took us like 45 minutes of talking to mom, getting her comfortable, just kind of massaging the whole thing. And then we ended up being there for like 3 hours, and he ended up signing with us. And he'll be a four-year starter for us. So it's a fantastic deal. But sometimes you gotta battle those things.
Do you bring that up with him now? With like
oh, we laugh about it all the time. I bring up his mom all the time. Like, can you imagine this? Imagine you don't listen to the door. But I guess the whole key is you got to get in the door.
I want to talk about the other team now. Coming in and really, really bad-talking to you. How much do you think that happens with other programs? Like, bad-mouthing other programs. Saying, no, you shouldn't go there.
It does. A lot of times you don't know who they are. Problem is the guy left his card on the table.
the evidence.
Yeah, so I called the coach the next day and kind of told him what I thought, but it all worked out.
So I'm hoping that the recruiting trail goes a little smoother this week. You said you're going to be busy on the road recruiting. That starts tomorrow. You said you're going to be on the road?
Yeah, so we've got a handful of guys flew out tonight, so that way they can start, you know, 8 a.m. We got a bunch of schools to hit. I'll fly out tomorrow right after our walkthrough. Again, be in Northern California during the day, and then one school Friday, and then fly to Southern California for, you know, a bunch of schools in a game Friday night.
So I've seen the Fertitta Complex. You've seen it. We've seen it in person physically. How do you translate that or transfer that energy, that excitement about that complex and all the other tools you have at your disposal for recruiting? How do you transfer that into the living rooms when you're with the parents there?
Well, it shows that we care. It shows there's an investment in football, something we haven't done here in 25-plus years. I mean, we just have – we've always talked about wanting to win. We've never done anything to try to do it, you know, investment-wise. And so I think there's a couple things. Number one, obviously, there's, you know, the bling of it and how nice it is and all that. But I think beyond that, when you talk to a mom and a dad and talk to a student-athlete about their collegiate experience and the way you're going to be able to take care of them and develop them and help them academically and, you know, nutritionally, just, you know, the quality that they're going to have. I mean, it's a building that the kids are going to want to stay in. They're not going to want to go home. They're going to hang out there. It's going to be their home away from home. It's going to create a synergy and an energy that this program hasn't had in a long, long time. So I'm excited about that, and it's going to play great dividends for this program and for the university.
Of course, Coach Sanchez and the Rebels in a bye week this week. No game on Saturday, but as you heard, Coach will be on the road working hard, trying to advance the program with recruiting as well as the rest of the assistants once this week wraps up as far as practice goes. How's the weekend practice been as far as the players and bouncing back and getting ready and kind of staying focused in a bye week? It's early in the season to have a bye week, but
yeah,
how have they been focus-wise in practice this week?
They've been good. I mean, obviously, you come on in and, you know, the first day back, there's some disappointment because of the outcome, you know, but the thing about it is our guys – they walked in confident, knowing, okay, hey, we've got a couple things sorted out. We got a really good football team. you know, like I said, one on the road, you know, lost a close one to a good football team. And again, we're not into moral victories, but it does build a little bit level of confidence going into the season. So our guys got their sights set in Wyoming. They had a really good couple days. And, you know, tomorrow we can't waste that day either. We got to have a really good focused film session. Got to have a great walkthrough. The guys got to knock it out of the park on Friday with their lift and their team run. And then, you know, come back Monday on game week ready to roll.
So how much of the film sessions this week have been focused in on Wyoming, or is it more of a focus on yourself and get yourself right before moving on totally to Wyoming?
Because it's so early in the season and because it's such a pivotal, important game, we handled it like we were playing this week. So I called the coaches in, you know, before the week, and I said, hey, here's the deal. As far as our time goes this week, we're not on a bye week. We're preparing like we're playing on Saturday. We'll come back on Sunday, we'll have one game to break down, one game to add to the equation, you know, and maybe tweak something here and there if we see something. But I wanted the players to watch just as much Wyoming film as they would on a game week. So we handled everything the exact same. So if we had to play Saturday, we'd be ready.
That's, I think, the way to handle it. Early in the season, you haven't played enough football to be tired. Mentioned injuries. You don't really need much recovery time for injuries. So focusing on to Wyoming. That's the focus here. We're going to shift gears a little bit to the Wyoming Cowboys. What have you seen so far this season? They're off to a hot start, 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
What have you seen from them on the tape?
Well, they're gritty. You know, week one, you know, you watch that game, and, I mean, they look really, really good. You're playing an SEC team. They're at home. They got down, you know, really fast, but then they just kept running the ball, just kind of a bow broke. The quarterback had a great game. And then from there, they've been in some dogfights. You know, I mean, they went on the road to Texas State, and they got down big and gave up a bunch of yards, but they were opportunistic. They had a big kick return. They had a couple of interceptions. I mean, there was a couple of things that, you know, really turned the tide in that game, and they were able to come away at the very end with the win. And then last week against Idaho, again, same thing. I mean, Idaho had the ball, the chance to win the game, you know, first and goal on the one-yard line at the very end in the fourth quarter. So that was a dogfight. The biggest thing is, you know, they're going to run the ball down here. If you allow them to run the football, they'll dictate the tempo. They'll shorten the game. That's what they want to do. You know, their quarterback right now is a good football player, but, you know, they've struggled throwing it a little bit. I think they've completed 18 passes in the first three games. So we really got to force the issue. You know, load the box. You know, let's make them throw the football. And then, you know, on the opposite side, offensively, you know, we know we can run the football. We've been able to run the football for 5 years, right? Got to do a bit better job of passing and catching and being more explosive. Last game, we had 7 explosive plays. Northwestern had 7 explosive plays, right? So we're even there. We didn't have one explosive play in the passing game, not one. All 7 were in the run game. That's got to change.
So the front 7 defensively, you mentioned, is probably the best it's looked since you've been a part of the Rebel program. They're going to be tested because, like you said, Wyoming struggles in the passing game, but they will run the ball right at you.
They will. You know, and so I'm excited about this matchup. I think our front's built for it. We're going to find out really shortly. But I think one of the things that's contributed to our defense, you know, playing so well in the front 7 is the amount of bodies we have, the rotation we have going on. I mean, we're playing 8 defensive linemen. We're playing 6 linebackers. I mean, we've got guys fresh. You know, I mean, when you're starting tackles, you know, a year ago are playing 75 snaps, and now they're playing 45. It changes their whole world. So they're going to be challenged, though. This is a big, big deal.
So this is the first time the Rebels have made the trip to Laramie since 2015, I believe.
Yeah.
And it is an altitude game. It's a little different up in Laramie. There's not much around other than football. Wyoming's excited about their program. I think they had 29,000 at the last home game.
Yeah.
This game's planning to be a whiteout. They're really excited. Got picked up by ESPNU.
Yep.
So a lot of reasons to be excited in Wyoming. Talk about going up to that hostile environment and preparing for the altitude.
Well, it's going to be fun. Well, the altitude, not much you can do about it. I mean, acclimatization period takes way too long, so you can't worry about it. You just got to do a great job of hydration. That's one of the biggest things, you know, getting dehydrated early on. So as soon as before we get on the plane, after, we got to do a great job with that. And then we got to make sure that we're doing a good job of subbing guys in and out, keeping them fresh. In the past, we haven't had that luxury. That'll be a big key, I think, to this. And then I love going on the road, love going to the hostile environment, being on national TV, wide out, whatever it is they got going. It's going to be exciting. So it's fun to go into those environments. You know, I don't care how big the stadium is. A packed stadium is phenomenal. And that's what you want to play in front of if you're a player.
Tony Sanchez radio show rolls on here into the second half of the show. We're live at Parkway Tavern, and Parkway Tavern is your new home of the Tony Sanchez radio show and the official home of the Rebels on the road. Come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez radio show. We'll step away and take another break. We'll be back on the other side with a lot more. This is the Tony Sanchez radio show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back, fans. Finley Chevrolet is your home for...
Woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. I don't feel like I committed enough to that woo, and I'm disappointed with myself. But that is a staple, of course, of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Finley Chevrolet, a great sponsorship. But the show rolls on. Talking about the Wyoming Cowboys, UNLV making their first trip since 2015 up to the elevation. I think it's 7,000 feet up there or something like that.
It's ways
up. Pretty high.
I remember the last time we went, though, got off the plane. That was my first year. It was -2.
My goodness.
So I'm really happy this is early in the year.
Yeah, earlier in the year than then. But so coldest game I've been a part of, late in the season, in November, playing the Air Force Academy
and you guys
up in Carlos. We won that game.
Got bowl eligibility.
Bowl eligibility. A lot on the line that game. Yeah. -13 with the wind chill.
Yeah, that's cold.
They had a blizzard the day before. Oh, my goodness. Cold games are, you could say the tough talk all you want to.
I love people saying, what's football weather? Football weather is 78 with like 3 mile an hour wind. That's football weather.
That's football weather. Yeah. You can keep the frozen tundra. But rolling on, talking about the Cowboys, getting specific. We got a lot of time to talk about them next week, of course.
Yeah.
Rebels in a bye week. That game is not going to be until next Saturday. But mentioning some of the things that you see already on the film, getting involved in them, they got a redshirt freshman at quarterback, Sean Chambers,
yep,
who is struggling in the passing game. You mentioned they're having some difficulties, but he is a dual-threat quarterback. He's made some plays with his legs.
Yeah.
Talk about what you see from him so far.
Well, like you said, he's a big, strong guy. They want to run the ball downhill. You know, when they had Allen, Josh Allen, you know, they were more traditional, under center, you know, hand the ball off. He may boot it once in a while or every once in a while run a read zone and keep, but they'll do a lot of different things with him, you know, kind of like we do with Armani. They'll get him in the gun. They'll run QB sweeps. They'll run quarterback counters off that. They'll run Q power. And then they'll do their traditional stuff too. So you really have to account for him as a running back, you know. And then obviously they haven't completed a lot of balls at this point, but you don't want him to get hot now too. You know what I'm saying? You can't fall asleep on it because that passing game can get real dangerous fast. You got a live arm. You can throw it away.
So watching some of the things that they've been able to do with him,
yep,
as a running quarterback, do you ever as a coach look around not just Wyoming, but at other teams across the nation and see what they're doing with their quarterback to kind of not piggyback or steal what they're doing, but kind of implement some of those things into your own game plan?
Yeah, well, a lot of that's just looking at ourselves. When you look at the last couple of years and the different things we've done with Armani, you know, the way we've kind of morphed with him, you know, especially more so the last couple of years. Yeah, I mean, you see that all the time. That's a big component in every team. You know, regardless of whether the guy's a dynamic runner, having that quarterback, you know, as a serviceable runner is a big deal nowadays just because of the number count, you know. So, yeah, you do. And you do a lot of that in the offseason.
Talking a little bit, switching gears to Armani,
yep,
here, talking a little bit about him and his performance last week. He was efficient in the first half.
Yep.
Not quite as efficient in the second half, but overall I felt a solid game outside of some of those critical errors. He had a solid game. Going into this week, game plan much of the same, getting him involved as much as possible, getting him moving, or what do you see from him?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, and we talked about that going into this last game, you know, he's an elite runner. That's always got to be a big part of the game plan, you know. You know, really wasn't week two. It was last week, and he did a good job. I think he ended up with 78 yards rushing. It was like a quiet 78 yards. That's a
right,
lot of yards,
right,
you know, considering he took some sacks too and things like that. So I think the biggest thing for him is in the second half, he was in a lot of third and longs. And, you know, again, anytime you're in a bunch of third and longs, it's going to affect your efficiency. But, you know, having said that, he was still 61% on the game, you know, which is a big, big improvement. In critical areas, you want to have turnovers. But I think we got to do a good job of making sure we keep him in manageable situations and we use him enough, you know, running the football to keep him off. The biggest thing for them is they got 11 sacks in three games. So they're one of the top teams in the country in sacking the quarterback. They're going to play man, you know, unless they change it up. They're going to play man with one high, and they're going to give you a bunch of different looks and a bunch of different stunts, five- and six-man pressures. So they're really good at getting to the quarterback. We got to do a really good job up front protecting them.
Of course, staying out of third and longs goes a long way to helping keeping the quarterback upright. At Finley Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota. So, again, going back to the in-house and what we saw from the Rebels last week, we also saw a lot more of Tylee Collins against Northwestern. He got some handoffs from the backfield, a couple of completions. How big of a part of the offense can we expect him to be going forward?
A big part of the offense, and more guys too. I mean, we talked about, you know, there's certain guys that got to get more touches. Randall Grime, you know, he had four opportunities, but he also had a big one where he ran down the sidelines. You know, he got the PI, so
right,
to
right,
me, I can almost consider that a catch too. We got to give him even some more. You know, Darren Woods, we got to get him involved a little bit more. You know, Mekhi Stevenson, you know, Stevie Jenkins. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of athletes out there. And, you know, one of the things is trying to make sure you disperse the ball to all these guys, give them opportunities. So we got creative in the way we got Tyreek the ball.
You mentioned man coverage for Wyoming. I know personally, being a quarterback, I'm looking at man coverage. I'm licking my chops. I know I got guys that can get open. You mentioned the athletes you have at your disposal this season. Have the guys in the flight crew been licking their chops, getting ready for man coverage? I know Coach C's been telling them all day.
You know him, he's a fireball. So he's telling them, and the guys, they know that. They're excited about it. And, again, the biggest thing is making sure we protect them, you know, and getting the ball out. You know, if we can hit some hot routes early on, I think it'll really change what they're doing.
So the bye week this week, again, UNLV not in action on Saturday, but next Saturday against Wyoming up in Laramie. The weather will not be -2. It should be a much more pleasant afternoon game, I believe.
Evening game,
6 o'clock start on ESPNU. You can catch it there, or you can listen to the broadcast. As a matter of fact, how would you like to be able to listen to us on the radio while synced up to your TV in the comfort of your own home? Go to syncmygame.com to find out how. So we'll take another quick break, and we'll be back on the other side of it to wrap things up here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back, Rebel fans. We are live from Parkway Tavern. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on. Again, we're live every Wednesday, alternating locations between here, the district location, and the 215 and Flamingo location on the other side of town. That's where we'll be next week for the coaches show. Again, we'll be going over Wyoming and maybe revisiting some of Coach's funny stories from his recruiting trip during this bye week. But hopefully everything goes smoothly there. So we'll dive back into Wyoming and the expectations going a little bit forward, sticking to the offensive side of the ball. For Wyoming, what else do you see from them on the film? Outside of their redshirt freshman quarterback, who else do you think will be one of the main factors for them?
Well, really, it's their front seven and the way they attack. I mean, they have a high blitz percentage. They're going to give you a lot of different looks, a lot of twists in their stunts and things like that. There's going to be a lot of movement up front. So a couple things. Number one, you got to protect the quarterback. But what that does is it gives you opportunities for big gashing runs. So if we can do a good job of settling in and picking up some of that movement, that ought to bode well for Chuck. You know, again, it can get messy in there, and every once in a while they may get you off schedule because, you know, could have a stunt or something, but it also kind of leaves them vulnerable too.
That's right.
So we got to take advantage of that.
Those stunts definitely open up lanes, and Charles has shown with his speed he can exploit those lanes for sure. Getting back to the Rebels, no major injuries. Charles Williams cramped up a little bit in the game. He's back. Everything's fine. Everything's good there. This week, the bye week practices shortened, but still staying laser focused. On Saturday, though, I know one of my favorite pastimes, looking back at my childhood, waking up Saturday mornings watching college football. You encouraging the guys to get up and enjoy their Saturday?
Completely. We told them too. I mean, it was a great opportunity. I said, you know, watch ball, man. Get up, watch football, learn from it, you know, enjoy it, have fun. You know, you don't want to get your mind too far away from it. Not this point in the year, you know. You got to stay dialed in. And, you know, and then at the same time, too, these are college kids, you know, good decision making. You know, when you're leaving and you got a night off, you got a couple nights off, make sure you're making quality decisions, doing the right thing. You know, you represent the name on the front of the jersey and the name on the back of the jersey, which is probably even more important, you know. So,
that's right.
You know, take care of your family name, take care of your school name, and, you know, do all the right thing.
And the temptations are there no matter where you are. Of course, be responsible with your free time. And most of the players already get that. They're laser focused. They know they're athletes. The microscope is right over them all the time anyway, so most of them get that. That's awesome. I'm practicing your recruiting speech. You're getting in there, talking to them. Those are the things you got to say to get recruits home. Get the moms, and the moms will make their kids come to you. That's what you got to do.
Recruit mom, for sure, always.
All right, so this week again, Rebels on a bye week, Wyoming next week. Talking about next week's schedule, do you intensify practice a little bit more for the game week, throw right back into the fire, or is it kind of the tempo that you've been going for the entire season?
Well, we'll ramp it up a little bit, you know, as far as tempo goes. But the nice thing about the bye week is you can stick with a little bit shorter practices because you've had double the preparation time. So you can get them as fresh as you can, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the intensity's got to be there. We'll still do our ones versus one sessions, you know. We do a team run and we do a team pass, you know, ones versus ones, our stuff versus our stuff. Always want to keep that game speed and tempo. We actually did that today. But all of our normal processes will go right back into place.
So the bye week schedule, I know I've always wondered how they line it up, how they decide who gets a bye week where. Is it just kind of a luck of the draw thing? This is where you end up when the schedule comes out? Or
that's
how
what
does
they
it go?
Say. I don't know, but I know that – I mean, it is what it is, and I love it. We told our guys, you know, road warrior mentality, but, I mean, I don't know how it lines up to where, you know, you go on the road against Northwestern, then you go on the road, then you have a bye, then you go against Northwestern, you know, and then you come home for Boise, but then you go on the road for Vanderbilt, then you go on the road for Fresno. You look at that and you go, my goodness, we got one home game in, what, 6 weeks? That's crazy.
That's
so
fun.
But, hey, it is what it is. We're fired up about it. Knuckle up. Let's go.
That's right. Knuckle up for it. You got a bye week to get ready. The guys will be focused and ready to come on out. I'm excited about it, Coach. The bye week always presents new things. What games for you are you locked in on this Saturday? You're going to have a chance to watch some other people, to take a break, I guess, from Rebel football for maybe a couple of hours, maybe.
Wyoming game for sure.
That's on the
that,
list.
Right? And then you got the Notre Dame-Georgia game. That's going to be exciting. That's a big one. You know, and the good thing, some of these games are all spread out this week. So those are the big – but, you know, it's funny. Sometimes, you're flipping the channels and you're watching the game, and all of a sudden this one game just got some great momentum and great energy, and
right.
You don't make a difference who's playing. You just get locked into that game.
Right.
But I'm a big channel surfer during the games.
Oh, I think it drives my wife crazy that I'm a – I can watch 13 seconds of a game and be on to the next one. I'm series for series switching games.
Hey, the greatest invention ever is these 60 and 60s. You know, they're playing a full game in 60 minutes. I watch those every night before I go to bed.
So we have another chance here this week. I'll be taking the week off, obviously. I'll have a chance to catch up on my college football and watch some games live. It'll be great. But getting back to Rebel football, what things do you think your team needs to improve on the most during this bye week to get ready for conference play?
Eliminate stupid penalties, clean up the turnovers, be more efficient throwing the ball on third downs, do a good job in the back end. We take care of those things, we're going to win a bunch of games.
So third and short, obviously, one of the goals there. First and second down going to be key for that. How do you get to that?
Oh, just being physical. I mean, just being physical on first down, being able to run the ball on first down, take advantage of some of those easy throws.
Physicality is something that the Rebels are ready for. They proved that against Northwestern. They're going to have another physical opponent in Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming. Coach, how many times have you been up to Laramie? Like, I mean, I've only been
second
once.
Time.
This is your second
first time.
Both of us, once
it's
as a player for me.
It's a beautiful place.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, Wyoming's beautiful, you know, beautiful part of the country, and it's a long ways away.
Another road trip for the Rebels. You mentioned that this part of the schedule is going to get a little bit tough as far as being away from home.
Yeah.
What are the advantages, though, if you can find any, of being away from home so much?
You know what? Sometimes when you're on the road, you're away, you're in a hotel, you just kind of focus on yourself. There's not a lot of outside distractions. You know, and you kind of develop that leather skin a little bit. You know, I mean, you're all getting booed all the time. You know, you know, not a lot of people there for you. I mean, the ones that are fantastic. But, you know, that many, you know, weeks away from home is a long, long time. You know, so when that whole thing's said and done, man, it'll tell a big story about this season.
So conference play kicks off. We talked about it a little bit. Does conference play push a reset button? Is there a heightened sense of urgency when you know that this is a conference opponent?
Well, I mean, I think sitting there at 1-2, you know, feeling like you let one of those things get away, and then one of the games you just feel like you didn't play real well. I think our guys are kind of chomping at the bit to get back out there and get in the win column, get ourselves back to even, back to 2-2. A lot of great opportunity this week to get ourselves rolling.
Great opportunity indeed. Rebels will take on the Wyoming Cowboys up in Laramie. Of course, Coach, as always, thank you for stopping by. As we wrap things up here live from Parkway Tavern, again, another great show, another opportunity for the Rebels to get a win on the road against Wyoming. Tony Sanchez Radio Show is live from Parkway Tavern. We'll be live again next Wednesday from the 215 and Flamingo location all the way on the other side of town. Come on down. We got a lot to talk about still. You can join the atmosphere live. You can hear it in the background. There's drinks. There's food. All the work's going down here at Parkway Tavern. Again, thanks everybody for listening. For Coach Tony Sanchez, for Russ Langer, this has been the Tony Sanchez Radio Show brought to you by UNLV Sports Properties from Learfield, IMG College.
On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Parkway Tavern, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Presented by Fenway Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.